Welcome back to Culture with me, Robert Bound, a lost, stolen and forged art special. Earlier in the show, Richard Nicholson debunked some of the mythology of art crime for us, but now for a story that has all the elements of myth. A 19th century patroness of the arts was so wealthy that she built an Italian palazzo in the Fens of Boston to house her collection, which she turned into a museum. Two thieves, possibly hired by the Irish mob to raise money for the IRA, disguised as police, who were so clever, or lucky, depending upon the version of the myth you prefer, that they managed to pull off the costliest art heist in American history without getting caught. Reporter Kathy Corman wanted to understand how Americans view these thieves and how the crime has been captured in the nation's imagination.
I'm at the School of the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, about a city block from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Staff at the Gardner don't want to comment on the theft that took place almost 23 years ago. Two robbers dressed as cops broke into the museum, tied up security guards, and made off with art valued at $500 million. The empty frames hang on gallery walls awaiting the return of their canvases. The FBI doesn't want to talk either. It continues to include the unknown thieves on the 10 most wanted list. Included in the haul, a seascape by Dutch master Rembrandt van Rijn, and The Concert, one of 34 paintings known to have been painted by Johannes Vermeer. Investigators at the FBI and staff at the Gardner may not want to talk about the crime, but that doesn't hold true for Bostonians here at the Art Sale, an annual holiday event. And when they mostly talk about the thieves.
I guess when I think about the thieves, I think of two possible tracks. You know, wily international thieves who are keeping this work maybe secreted someplace for some wealthy, nefarious person to enjoy. Or I think of some lesser folks who got away with something dramatic and are scared to death right now and laying low. I don't know what to make of it.
That's Rosamund Valli, a governor on the School of the Museum of Fine Arts board. And here's Bostonian Linda Karam's take on the thieves.
The thing that got me about that when I heard about it was that they had actually cut the canvas out of the frames, which diminished the value. And I thought, now who would have sent somebody to cut it out rather than unscrew the frames? Or that didn't make sense to me. And then I started thinking, since I work in business, that must have been a subcontractor. You know?
It's not just random art lovers in Boston who fantasize about the heist. This is a crime that has worked its way into the imagination of a city and a nation. The thieves have left their mark on high and low culture alike. In 2003, The New Yorker magazine published Stolen, a poem John Updike wrote about the robbery. In 2010, animated TV show The Simpsons used the theft to shape an episode. In it, Homer and his co-workers at the nuclear plant vandalized the wine cellar of their boss, Mr. Burns, to protest having to work on the 4th of July. One guess as to what they find.
Well, wait a minute, Chief. This is The Concert by Vermeer, huh? Which was stolen in 1990 from Boston's Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum.
So, Burns, do you want to explain how this miracle of measure and harmony got into your collection?
Well, you see, it's just... Is it a crime to want nice things and then to steal them from a public museum where any gum-chewing monkey in a Tufts University jacket can gawk at them? I think not!
Cuff 'em, Lou.
The boss has them. And you know what? Before they were stolen, the boss had them too.
That's Professor Rachel Rubin. She is chair of the American Studies Department at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Professor Rubin is interested in art crime and the public imagination precisely because of the ways it upends social hierarchies. She says it's no coincidence that the Gardner theft gets played out in popular imaginings in terms of class.
People who romanticize art thieves tend to do so as an expression of the way most people in the United States feel about the art world and museums, which is that they feel quite excluded from it. In a symbolic way, even if you're the most law-abiding person in the world, there's a way in which you can secretly say, somebody got one over on those guys who look at me like I'm not dressed right.
Ask a writer who's actually crafted fantasy from the nuts and bolts of the Gardner story, and you'll have an even clearer sense of the heist's storytelling potential. David Hosp published Among Thieves, a mystery novel based on the Gardner theft. Hosp is a practicing attorney who was drawn to the Gardner heist because of the way it joins Boston's elite to the city's gritty underworld of organized crime. He was eager to think about the sort of person who would have carried out the robbery. He named one of the two thieves, Devon.
Devon's character is really, he's not very polished. He's not a character who, even within underworld circles, is very well respected. He has certain gifts when it comes to being a thief. He has certain skills in terms of getting into places and getting out of places. And beyond that, he really doesn't have a lot to recommend him to anybody. And he's searching for redemption, and he thinks he's found it in this spectacular robbery. And it doesn't, as it turns out, make his life any better whatsoever.
Did Hosp get Devon right?
I don't think that there is much mystery of a lure to these thieves. You have to understand, they're thugs.
That's Stephen Kirkjian, a retired investigative reporter who started working for the Boston Globe in 1968. He's covered the Gardner theft in depth, and his best guess is that the men who got into the Gardner that March night in 1990 were, as Hosp imagines, small-time crooks who took advantage of loose security. Kirkjian suspects that the thieves didn't know the museum hadn't insured the paintings. He figures they were surprised to learn they couldn't give back the paintings for a ransom. Kirkjian thinks the thieves got stuck with a load of famous, expensive art that they couldn't fence. He is so pained by the lack of closure in this case that he can't allow himself the freedom to imagine the thieves in terms of romance. Maybe, he says, the thieves are dead now, and maybe someone will at last come forward with a clue. Until then, he says, the theft makes for a great story in need of an ending.
This story needs a final chapter, and I think the hero or the heroine will identify themselves with the final chapter.
The FBI and the Gardner Museum continue to offer a $5 million reward to anyone with information leading to the stolen art. The statute of limitations has run out. No one who comes forward will be prosecuted, even if they are the actual thieves. For Monocle in Boston, I'm Kathy Corman.
Well, whoever does have those paintings must either be laughing or crying right now.